Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And welcome in a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway. Great to have you with us to close out the week. It's been a good week here on the program. And, of course, I'm excited. We're having good guests, good shows, good things to talk about, even here in the middle of the summer. I can't wait till we draw a little closer to the start of the season, the basketball season I'm talking about, not too far away. It's inching closer. Still some distance between now and then, but inching closer. Glad you're with us to wrap up the day. A lot to get to here on this Friday show. We actually have three guests that are going to join us here in this show today. Let's take a look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham. Joining us today, we'll have some news and headlines of the day here in segment number one. Then coming up later in the program in segment two, Jared Morris will join us of Assembly Call. And following Jared Morris, and we'll talk some IU basketball, of course, with Jared. Following Jared's chat, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star will join us. A lot of basketball topics with Kyle, maybe a little high school football as the high school football season a couple weeks away. Then we'll wrap up the program today with Indianapolis Cathedral senior Armon Franklin. Yesterday, Armon narrowed his schools down to three. Indiana, one of the three on that list, and he's going to join us to talk about where the Hoosiers stand and where really his recruiting process stands overall to wrap up the show later today, so stay with us for that. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. You mentioned the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Not a lot to get to. Pretty slow news day. A few little recruiting tidbits out there. Trace Jackson Davis of Center Grove 2019 class tweeting yesterday evening that a top six list is coming soon. We assume he's talking about schools. And him coming up with a list of his top six that he is considering. Obviously, it would be a complete shock if Indiana was not on that list. They are expected, or I fully expect him to be on that list, and probably in the top few schools that he's considering, to be quite honest right now. But nonetheless, Trace Jackson Davis working on a list. I'm sure he'll have a graphic to make his announcement official of his top six schools coming anytime, so stay out on the lookout for that as well. Also, I mentioned Armon Franklin of Indianapolis Cathedral, who's going to join us later in the show today. He came back from July, and he went right down to business. He didn't come up with the top six or top ten. He came up with a final three. He's down to three schools that he is going to consider: Indiana, Purdue, and Xavier on the list. Obviously, the Hoosiers very involved with the in-state senior guard from Cathedral High School in Indianapolis. We'll talk to him about all three schools, though. He's got solid connections, long-standing connections with Matt Painter at Purdue. He also has a very, very long connection with Xavier. Actually, his connection with Xavier started with Travis Steele, who is now the head coach at Xavier, who does have Indiana background. He's from Danville, Indiana, but that recruitment started when Chris Mack was still at Xavier and Travis was his assistant coach. So he's got a long-standing connection with Xavier. Three final schools on the docket for Armon Franklin. We'll talk with him about his final three and specifically Indiana coming up later in the program, as I mentioned. Also, a couple other notes. A New Albany Little League, they begin their quest for a Great Lakes title coming up this weekend in Indianapolis at the Grand Park facility in Westfield. I've had a lot of questions as we've been out and about and tweets and everything else, but unfortunately we cannot broadcast because Little League is not at their permanent facility. They're building a new facility in Zionsville. It's not done yet. It's expected to be done for next summer. Therefore, we are unable to, they're not letting anybody else in essentially to broadcast. So for those of you that have listened through the district and the state, you'll have to download an app called ESPN Plus. There is a small monthly fee to get ESPN Plus. I think it's $4, $5, $6 a month, but you'll be able to stream the games, all the Great Lakes games, and a lot of other Little League games as well through that app. And you can put them on your iPad, your phone, your television, however you've got it connected. You'll be able to log in with ESPN Plus and watch them that way. Then when they get to the latter stages of the tournament, the games are on regular ESPN television, whether it's ESPN or ESPN2. So good luck to New Albany. They open Sunday night with a game against St. Matthew's Little League, the Kentucky State champion. The winner of that game goes to a game Monday. The loser of that game does not play again until Tuesday afternoon. And I tell you what, if you look at the bracket, we had a big event last night at Bear Nose, Night of Champions, celebrating the New Albany Little League's accomplishments and a fundraiser for the team as well. But if you look at the side of the bracket, there's no question that the New Albany St. Matthews side of the bracket is much tougher than, say, Michigan, who won it a year ago when with the 12-year-old team they entered last year. So interesting week. It's always fun to see. We've had some really good New Albany and really good Jeff and really good District 5 teams go to the Great Lakes over the years. Only one has been able to get out of it. Of course, New Albany could have been number two a few years ago until we found out Jackie Robinson was using some illegal players, the Illinois champion. But nonetheless, interesting to see how this New Albany team stacks up. So much of it has to do with pitching and pitch counts. And, you know, some would tell you that it's almost better to maybe, if you're going to lose your first game so you get a day off and come back Tuesday. And others would say, you know, to win that game Monday, obviously, get you momentum, but you've got to come right back on Sunday. I mean, would get you some momentum, but you got to come right back on Monday and play someone that's going to be very good as well. So hard to say, but will be interesting to follow them. I know a lot of people will be watching. Bear Nose will have the games on. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, they will have the games on as well. If you don't want to download the app and can't make it out, great ways to pick those up. So good luck to the New Albany Little League team. Also, Greg Mengelt, who is our guest on Wednesdays, he had a great story in Wednesday's, in today's paper, about the New Albany success, also about the success of Little League teams in the area. Five state champions all coming out of District 5. And if you want to narrow that down even farther, five state champions coming out from Floyd County alone, between New Albany, between Floyd's Knob softball, between Highlander Youth Recreation baseball. Pretty strong, the success at the Little League levels, which I guess should be very hopeful for what the future looks like at the local high schools as far as baseball and softball goes. That's a look at the headlines for this Friday edition of the program. The Hoosier headlines are presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. High school football is 2 weeks away. We are less than a week away from our Zaxby's kickoff show at the Zaxby's location in New Albany. We invite you to join us out next Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. We'll have every head coach from Clark and Floyd County football teams in attendance with us. We'll also have a lot of the top players there as well. And again, 7 to 9 p.m. will be all about the eight Floyd and Clark County football teams for the upcoming season. Don't forget, 2 weeks from tonight, our Kentuckiana Football Fridays coverage begins here on the Big X. 5+ hours of local coverage each Friday night. What a big opening night. New Albany and Providence, obviously. That's always a big rivalry game to start the season. Both of those teams expecting good things this year. Jeffersonville plays down at Pulaski, Kentucky, Pulaski County, Kentucky. You've got Charlestown and Silver Creek. That's a big rivalry game to get things started as well. So week one of football here 2 weeks from tonight. A lot of the teams have scrimmages next week. And, of course, 2 weeks from now, kickoff officially begins. And that's the start of high school sports for the 2018-19 season. We'll head out to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. IU basketball discussion on tap after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, who is with us every Friday here on the program. Jared, always fun to catch up and talk some IU hoops with you. And I tell you what, I always kind of prep for our segment, our chat, listening to the latest edition of Assembly Call Radio, which originally aired last night. You can find out how to listen to it at assemblycall.com and kind of get some ideas from you guys on what, especially in the offseason, some of the topics are that are making fans tick. And one of the topics, of course, a lot of about the incoming freshman, a lot about Romeo, a lot about IU's videos and promotion for the upcoming season, and of course recruiting. That's the other big thing this time of year that keeps us all on our toes. But you guys really spent some time covering a topic on last night's show with Evan Fitzner, the graduate transfer from out west. And, you know, we've seen some clips of him, went back and saw a little bit from his time playing for St. Mary on the West Coast. Obviously, there's really no connection where you'd get to see him on television on a regular basis unless you're a late night college hoops watcher. But he's very intriguing about what he could bring to this team potentially. And I'm curious, kind of a recap or maybe an overview of what you're expecting and what you guys discussed regarding Evan Fitzner's addition to the IU roster.
Yeah, he's a really interesting addition, made all the more interesting by the fact that I don't think he's missed a shot since he got to Bloomington. I'm pretty sure every shot he's taken in warm-up or in workouts he's made.
Hey, at least according to that video, he hadn't missed.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, and you hear some of the players talk. You know, you heard Jerron Davis, you know, say that he's the best shooter on the team. So he's really made an impact in his short time. And so I think when you look at the strengths that he's going to bring, this is a guy who over three seasons and more than 300 attempts has shot 41.5% from downtown. So this is no fluke. I mean, he's got a beautiful stroke from out there. He's a really good shooter. And the majority of his offense at St. Mary's came in spot-up situations where he was either just, you know, getting the pass, catch and shoot, you know, or someone would run him off the line, you know, then driving. But that was, you know, for a 6'10 guy, you would think, okay, maybe he's posting up. He posted up like 4% of the time last year. So, I mean, he is a guy who is out there to shoot. That is the primary value that he provides on offense, and we don't have to think back very far to an IU team that really struggled to make outside shots and how painful that could make offense at times. And so when you think about what he's really going to bring, that's the number one thing. So his ability to help space the floor, you know, to open up lanes for guys like Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford and Justin Smith to go to work, that's really going to be helpful. And I think, you know, he's also a really good in pick and pop situations. And so, you know, you put him in some of those, you know, situations with Al Durham, who's, you know, a really good pick and roll player, Devontae Green, Robert Finnessy, you'll be able to get offense there. So it's pretty easy to see where he will benefit Indiana, you know, from an offensive standpoint and from a depth perspective. The big question, and what I think will determine his playing time more than anything, is how he's able to fit in on the defensive end. You know, obviously, he's going to be learning a new defensive system, playing the pack line. He is not a guy who has been particularly adept defensively, you know, struggles against shooters, you know, just average defending the post. So where will he be used defensively? You know, if you're playing him with Juwan Morgan, you know, do you let Juwan Morgan kind of bang down low, or do you let Evan Fitzner be that guy? So I think that is a big question to me, is where does he fit on defense? How does he adapt there? Because if he can just be adequate defensively, he he's going to be able to get time because of what he brings on the offensive end. So he's a really intriguing addition. He's going to give Indiana a lot of flexibility offensively, and then we'll just have to see how he adapts defensively. Because again, like I said, I think that'll determine how much he ends up playing.
Yeah, initially when you see he's coming to Indiana, you see his size and length, and then the more you read about him, this is long before he got on campus, you realize he can really shoot. So kind of an interesting combo, and it does leave a lot to the imagination for the defensive end of the floor. But those type of versatile players that have size, that can play out on the wing, that can shoot it, that can be a deadly combination. That's been proven over and over in today's realm of college basketball, and it'll sure be interesting to see if he can step into that role and play that big of a role on a consistent basis.
Yeah, and look, he's a good athlete. You know, he's not just, you know, kind of a big plodding big guy. You know, he's not huge, so, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what some work with Cliff Marshall can help him do, if that'll maybe help him be more able to bang down low. But, you know, he's a good, you know, fluid athlete for that size, and so I think he really brings a lot. And the thing with him, and when you look at Archie and how he's approached everything at Indiana, you know, Archie doesn't just do things on a whim. You know, he doesn't, you know, do things without a plan. And so I think he had a very specific plan for why he wanted to bring him in. I'm sure has a very specific vision. And, you know, when you think about the potential depth issues that Indiana could have down low with Dron Davis coming back from injury, and then your reliance on three unproven guys in Race Thompson, Clifton Moore, and Jake Forrester, having a senior who can shoot, you know, has experience, has played for a big-time program. I mean, St. Mary's, you know, they may be in the West Coast Conference, but that's a big-time program that, you know, that expects to go to the NCAA tournament every year. So he's been in big games. He's been in big moments. And I think that's the other thing that may be easy to overlook, is this is still a young, developing Indiana team, and he'll be able to provide some leadership from all the experience that he's had.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Hall, who joins us on Fridays to talk IU basketball. You know, we're in that slow point. Recruiting is now over as far as the July tournaments. I know there are some skills camps and some academies and things still going on, and some that will get started later this month at Trace Jackson Davis, Keon Brooks, and some of the other big names go as far as IU recruiting. But one of the things that, and I got a chance just for maybe 15 minutes last night, and then earlier over the past weekend, maybe another 30 minutes or so, to watch the $2 million tournament that's going on, the winner take all. It's called the basketball tournament. I think you and I had a conversation about this a year ago. It's amazing to see the popularity that has grown around that tournament. Last night at the Final Four, there was actually a decent crowd there, which is pretty cool to see. But Eberline Drive, I think they were victorious last night. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but Christian Watford on the roster, it was good to see him back out on the floor.
Yeah, you know, I got to be honest, I have not watched much of the basketball tournament this year, but I have just kind of been keeping track on Twitter. And yes, I believe I did see that Eberline Drive won, so I believe they are playing in the finals. And what's interesting there is Christian Watford had always been on the Armored Athlete team, which has Jordan Hulls and Will Sheehy. And so, you know, he switched to that team, and it seems like a good decision since they're going to be playing for the $2 million. You know, one of the interesting storylines about the basketball tournament is that they're using the Elam ending, and which I think is a smart move for them because it differentiates them and kind of adds some intrigue. And so you've seen a lot of people debating that back and forth, whether that would be the kind of thing that could someday come to college basketball or the NBA. And, you know, for those who don't know the Elam ending, it was started by a professor at Ball State. It was his idea for basically eliminating how boring, I suppose, the end of games can sometimes be when teams are behind and they start fouling and it just becomes a parade to the free throw line. And it's not as much real basketball as what you might get, you know, for the first 35 minutes. And so basically at the 4-minute mark, you take the team who's ahead, you add 7 to their score, and then you play to that score. And then it's over, so it's untimed. And it's a really interesting concept, I think. I'm very intrigued by it, not to the point where I would say that the NBA or college basketball should do anything with it, because, you know, on the one hand, I think it would eliminate, you know, some of that parade to the foul line, all that stuff. And you know, you just think about, you know, when you go and play at the rec center, you know, and you know, you're just playing to a score, you know, every single game is going to end on a made shot, which I think is kind of intriguing. On the other hand, you're going to lose some of the really compelling buzzer beaters and some of the, you know, late against the clock type situations, which may be different from how the game is played the rest of the game, but that's also part of the fun and why the end of games can be so tense but so exciting. So I can kind of see it from both sides, and I think it's a good fit to be in a summer league like the basketball tournament. You know, keep the NBA, keep college basketball how it is, and let's just have a couple of different ways to enjoy this beautiful, wonderful game.
Jared, as you were giving a great rundown on that, I was looking at Christian Watford on his team, and you can split the $2 million up however you want. I guess you have to predetermine it before the tournament begins, but if the team wins tonight that he's playing for, Watford receives $135,000.
Man, that is awesome.
that's crazy.
That is awesome. You will see some guys playing hard tonight, that's for sure. Is that when the final is tonight?
Yeah, finals tonight. I think it's at 9 o'clock. It's been on ESPN. So good luck to him. But pretty cool deal for a tournament that came out of nowhere to offer $2 million as a prize. And, again, you could pay the coach, not pay the coach, pay the organizer, the quote general manager, not pay him. Some elect to give more to the players than pay themselves, and so an interesting format for sure. But $2 million on the line, and Christian Watford could get a pretty nice piece of that tonight. So best of luck to him, Jared.
All I will say is, if it's close late and you need a bucket,
yes,
find Christian on the left wing, get him the ball. He'll make it.
Call for the watch shot.
That's right.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call. A couple quick things before we let you go. We're going to have Armon Franklin on a little bit later in the program. He has Indiana in his final three. Trace Jackson Davis tweeting out last night that he's working on a top six list. I'd be surprised if Indiana wasn't in that top six and probably right there at the very top one or two for him at this point.
You know, if Trace has a good sense of humor, he would put that out there with IU not on it and just let it linger for about 15 minutes and just kind of watch the whole state burn for a while, because the panic and just the sheer terror, if Indiana wasn't on that, would actually be kind of amusing. But, no, I agree with you. Everybody expects that Indiana will be on that. And Armon Franklin's an interesting guy. You know, obviously a really good player at a position of need for Indiana. And he announced his final three of Indiana, Purdue, and Xavier. And, you know, you'll probably get some insight talking to him. It seems to me from stuff I've read that Indiana, you know, right now is probably third there just because they've been in it a little bit, not as long as Purdue and Xavier. So it'll be interesting to see if Indiana can make up ground there and get themselves a chance. Because anytime you can get a four-star, really good prospect that's going to be a good three- or four-year player from in-state, that's something that you really want to make every effort to get. So, you know, guys like him, guys like Brandon Newman, it'll be interesting to see, what ends up shaking out with those recruitments.
Absolutely. Jared Morris, Assembly Call, assemblycall.com, at Assembly Call on Twitter. Great show last night. Lots of discussion in depth on Evan Fitzner as we started the segment with. Jared, thanks for the chat. We'll do it again next Friday.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend, Matt.
Thank you, and you too. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Still ahead, Kyle, followed by Indianapolis Cathedral senior Armon Franklin. His top three, his final three, out yesterday. Indiana in the three. We'll talk with him about each of his three schools. We'll talk about visits, maybe when a decision will be made, and more. So two good segments coming your way next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, always with us Fridays. Lots of basketball talk, maybe a little high school football today as well with Kyle, who does a great job covering high school sports for the Star, really across the state of Indiana. Kyle, I want to start with a familiar topic already on today's program. Armon Franklin, he has a final three. Indiana is in that final three. We'll get an up-close and personal chat with Armon coming up in the next segment to finalize our week here on the Hoosier Report. You know, we spend so much time in the 2019 class talking about Trace Jackson Davis of Center Grove, Keon Brooks of Fort Wayne North, at least for now. We're not exactly sure. He's not exactly sure, I don't think, where he's going to be at for his senior year. But so much time talking about those two players in the senior class, Armon Franklin and some others right there behind him, maybe don't get the discussion or the talk that they deserve. But now that he's narrowed his list to three, those are obviously three high major schools, three very successful programs in the state of Indiana, in the Midwest, and you've had a chance to watch him up close and personal now for a couple of years.
Yeah, he really, Armon was at Cathedral as a freshman, then he transferred to Fishers as a sophomore, and then back to Cathedral as a junior. And really, you know, towards the end of his sophomore year at Fishers, kind of blew up. I think he had can't remember exactly how many points he had in the sectional, but something like a 33-point game in the sectional his sophomore year, and had a really good second half of the year at Fishers, and then really blew up as a junior at Cathedral. He was, you know, his recruitment really took off, which is kind of unusual, you know, where you see it at the high school level maybe rather than AAU. But he really exploded. They won the city tournament. They had a really good record, and he was a huge reason for that. He's a big guard, strong. He's a good passer, physical player. You know, he's not on the same, you know, when you look at the national rankings, he's not up there with Jackson Davis and Brooks, and probably not quite at that level of prospect, but he's right there next in line. Probably when you're talking about the state, you know, him and Brandon Newman, who was at Valparaiso, are probably right there next. And you can see why. I mean, he's got a lot of talent that, you know, clearly the two schools in our state, Indiana and Purdue, and then Xavier. And Xavier, I think, you know, from talking to him, and you can ask him, but, you know, I feel like they're going to be tough to beat. You know, I talked to him several months ago about kind of where things stood at that time. And of course, you know, things changed dramatically in a recruitment. But, you know, I know he really liked Xavier, liked Travis Steele after he got the job there, moved up from assistant, and already had a good relationship with him. So, you know, and he when you think of Xavier guards, I mean, he does really fit that role. Not that he wouldn't at Purdue or IU, but you know, that I think that could be a tough school to beat. But he's got some really good options here as he moves into his final three.
Kyle, we've talked about this before, but, you know, Xavier has always had a strong involvement with a lot of guys coming out of the Hoosier State. It's really been remarkable the number of players they've had and how some of those careers have turned out very positive for them at Xavier. Chris Mack obviously leaves in the offseason, goes to Louisville. Travis Steele, a longtime Xavier assistant coach, gets the head coaching job. And, you know, Travis Steele, for those that don't know, from Danville, Indiana, I think this is something else that you and I have talked about back when he got the job. I mean, he is very well-rooted in the state of Indiana. I can remember a very young Travis Steele coaching for some of the Spiess Gym Rats teams back some years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, those guys have long got out of high school and long got out of college, but he is very well rooted in the state. And just because Chris Mack and some of the other former head coaches that were very connected in Indiana have moved on to bigger places or different jobs or whatever the case is, now that Travis Steele's in command down at Xavier, I wouldn't look for the connection to Indiana to drop off. In fact, it may strengthen.
Oh, absolutely. There's nobody, you know, Xavier is basically an in-state team for all, you know, their geography may not say that, but they are so plugged in as far as recruiting goes. And, you know, Travis Steele is the reason for that. And you mentioned, you know, he's from Danville. He's got roots here. You know, the in-state teams do a great job of recruiting the state, but, you know, Travis Steele is as good as an in-state coach goes, because he knows the town. He's plugged in here. When you look at a lot of the first offers that go out to top guys in the state, Xavier is usually right there. You know, they're among the first boys to get in on those guys, and you know, that'll continue to be the case as long as Travis Steele is the coach there, and I don't anticipate that will change at all. But you mentioned all his connections and it kind of tentacles here in the state. And if you talk to those kids, you know, the Blewetts and the, you know, the D Davises and the number of guys from the state who've gone to Xavier, you know, Travis Steele, they'll mention, you know, when he was an assistant, he was the guy who was recruiting them early on. So, yeah, I mean, that's a, you know, I almost consider Xavier another in-state school just because of the way Travis Steele's recruited the state.
Yeah, really amazing between Archie Miller, what he's been able to get done recruiting so far, and I think everybody has high expectations for what he will be able to do moving forward. Then you've got Travis Steele down at Xavier, of course, Ohio State. I've talked about Chris Holtman and the background he has in Indiana. And there are some other coaches. You know, I'm very interested to see what Brad Underwood does at Illinois. But out of the Midwest right now, that's a triangle that is going to be very tough. And I think often you'll see those guys, those three schools involved for a lot of the same players. Of course, you add Purdue to the mix. They're involved in this one as well. They're going to be involved in a lot of those same recruitments. That's a very, very tough decision, I would think, for a kid when you've got quality coaches and quality schools, both basketball-wise and academically, like what we've got with some of these we just talked about.
Yeah, and Purdue, you know, you look, they've kind of replenished and kind of reestablished themselves now. As you know, they already have two guys in that 2019 class, you know, in Isaiah Thompson and Gillis from Newcastle. So they've got two of the top guys already in the state. And of course, Matt Painter, you know, he always recruits the state hard, and you know, they've got offers out. They're not, you know, necessarily you know, going to offer everybody. That's not kind of how they go about things, but they look for guys who are going to fit their style and system, and they really recruit the state well. And you know, and at a mid-major level, they always, you know, you look at Miami of Ohio, you know, that's another school. Jack Owens, who is at Purdue, they're going to come in, and they've gotten a lot of guys maybe who are on that next level of talent. So there's no shortage. You know, it's always been the case since I've been here, but Indiana has recruited harder than almost anywhere, and we know why, because of the amount of talent. But there's not a lot of hidden secrets, you know, as far as you know, players who are maybe under-recruited. That rarely happens, and it's just because of the, I think, respect for the talent in the state.
Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star, is our guest. Kyle is with me Fridays. A lot of basketball recruiting talk when Kyle joins the program. Trace Jackson Davis, I'll get it out right finally, announced that he would be putting out a top six list soon. And again, you know, we get all kind of stuff from recruits. Some want to go ahead like Armand did, cut it down to a final three. Some want to make a list of their top schools to kind of differentiate things. Others will come back even after they've made the list of top schools and add somebody that wasn't on that list of top schools. So it's kind of a free-for-all nowadays in how some of these announcements and narrowing of college choices are made, or potential choices are made. Top six coming for him. I think there's a handful of schools that you could almost kind of guarantee will be in his top six. Of course, Indiana might have the biggest for sure possibility there of any school, but it'd be interesting to see the six that he really is going to focus on, and just kind of where his mind's at to see beyond some of the obvious schools that are going to be in there, who else he might include.
Yeah, I'm curious too. I think ever since, you know, I remember talking to Trace about this, you know, not you know, it's been a little while now, but you know, he almost gave a, you know, kind of a top six even back then, or a top, I think it was probably a top five or so, in Indiana, Purdue, and Iowa, you know, Michigan State, Ohio State. There may have been one or two others in there, but you know, and since then, of course, he's gotten more offers, and you know, his recruitment has only gotten bigger, I guess. But I think everybody, you know, even back then, that may have been even before the season, his junior season started. He was kind of focused in on those schools, and you know, I don't think there'll be, you know, I'll be curious to see if there's any huge surprises. I don't maybe anticipate that would happen. I think this is kind of a Big Ten recruitment, and maybe there's another school like a Clemson or a Georgia or a, you know, something like that, or Memphis, you know, may get in there. But, you know, I don't know, UCLA potentially. But I think it's probably comes down to those, you know, those five I was talking about, and those are all Big Ten schools. And I think everybody from IU, you know, IU fans have felt good about his recruitment for a while. And I think there's a lot of mutual interest there, clearly. But yeah, I'm interested to see what he ends up putting out for a top six, and I don't anticipate any huge surprises, but you never know. You never know quite for sure, but I think there's a pretty good handle on maybe the schools he's most interested in.
Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star, our guest. Kyle, always great to catch up. Thanks for the information. Have a great weekend. We'll talk with you again soon.
Okay, looking forward to it, Matt. Thanks.
All right, Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star. And again, speaking with Kyle, we didn't get an opportunity to bring it up, but high school football just a couple weeks away. New Albany, Providence, Charlestown, Silver Creek, Jeff playing down in Pulaski County, Kentucky. Some really interesting games to open up the 2018 regular season. We'll have you covered here on the Big X Sports Radio every Friday during the high school football season. Our coverage will begin at 6 o'clock. We'll go until 10:30, 11 o'clock or so, and get all the scores and results and interviews and things to you. So stay with us for that coming up here in a couple Fridays as high school football gets underway. We're going to head to a commercial break here in just a second. We'll have Armand Franklin with us here, Indianapolis Cathedral Senior, will join us when we come back from the break. Of course, just as Kyle said, he's down to three schools, Indiana, Purdue, and Xavier, and I look forward to talking directly with Armand about what he likes about each of the schools and what a timetable looks like for his decision. And Indianapolis Cathedral for next year. They will be one of the top teams in 4A basketball in the state. We'll get his thoughts on all of that and more. One final reminder, the New Albany Little League team, they play in the Great Lakes Regional Tournament. We will not have it on the Big X. It'll be on ESPN+. Someone told me it's $4.99 for a month, so you can download ESPN+. You got to subscribe to it, but it'll be well worth it. You can support this New Albany team and watch a lot of the Great Lakes games in addition to a lot of other content as well. So good luck to them. They play 8 o'clock against St. Matthew's Little League, the Kentucky state champion, Sunday to open Great Lakes play up in Indianapolis. To a commercial break we go, back with Armand Franklin to wrap things up on this Friday show after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday edition of the program, the opportunity to hear from one of the recruits, or potential recruits, I should say, that we talk so much about. It's 2019 senior Armand Franklin from Indianapolis Cathedral. He joins us right now. Armand, big July, big decisions recently, trimming your list of suitors down to three schools. How you doing now that August is here?
I'm doing good. I had made a plan. Cut my list right after the AAU season was over, so I was just glad I got to do that. So it was a good feeling. It was a lot of relief.
Let's go back first and talk about July. You guys were very busy. You played at multiple places across the country. You got to play in front of all the coaches recruiting you, including these three final schools, Indiana, Purdue, and Xavier, that you are going to consider from this point forward. What was the month like? Where all were you at?
In July, I played in Wisconsin, I played in Fort Wayne, and I played in South Carolina.
So you were around, no question about that. You got back off the road. You basically made your decision. You had a bunch of schools interested. You had a handful of scholarship offers, but you've narrowed it down to three. Of course, Indiana in that final three. Let's go through each of the schools. IU, Archie Miller, they were on the road following you a lot this month. Why Indiana? What makes them get a spot on your final three?
Indiana got a spot just because of the relationships I have with everybody. They came to every game I had. They made sure at least one assistant was at every game. They constantly called and talked to me, gave me advice. They were just an all-around good recruiting staff. My recruit coordinator, Coach Ostrom, he calls me a lot just to talk. It doesn't necessarily have to be about basketball. He just wants to know what's going on in my life and and what I'm doing and how I'm doing. So they're really into me, and I'm really into them. So that's why they made the final three. And then with Coach Miller, he still calls and checks on me, see how I'm doing and everything. And we just have a great relationship, and that was one thing where I had to put them in my final three, because it's a great relationship with the staff.
We're talking with Armon Franklin of Indianapolis Cathedral. He narrowed his list of schools down to three. That was your reasons for Indiana. They all sound correct and great. What about Purdue? What made Purdue and Coach Painter get a spot on your final three? Another in-state school keeping tabs on you very closely.
Purdue was pretty much the same reasons. Like I said, my recruiting with them has been tremendous. I visited there. I liked it. I've gone down there to play pickup with some of the guys. I know some of the guys. We're just all really good friends. And I can go down there whenever just to play with them if they have a whole pickup thing going on. So I just felt really welcome there. And I felt welcome by the staff and by the players. So it was just... it was a good feeling when I was down there, and that's another reason why they're on my three.
And what about Xavier? They are the final of your three schools you're going to consider from this point moving forward.
Xavier is important. They were my first big offer. So that kind of made a major play into it. And then Travis Steele, he was the coach who recruited me first. And then when Coach Mack leaves, Coach Steele becomes the head coach, and I think our relationship just got stronger from there. I think at that time he was the best coach I had a relationship with. So I think he knows what he wants to do for me, and he thinks he can get me to the next level, and that's why I consider Xavier in the top three.
Armon Franklin of Indianapolis Cathedral, our guest. He's talking through his list of schools, three schools left that he's going to consider from this point moving forward. Armon, you did a great job just telling us about the three schools and what you like about each of them, what you like about each of the coaching staffs. It sounds like now that you've got it down to three, this decision is going to be a tough one for you. Now that you're at this point, when do you think you could potentially be ready to make a final decision on where your college destination will be?
It'll definitely be after I take all three of those official visits. And then they'll be, the visits are middle, and then the end of the middle to the end of the month. So it will probably be after. It won't be this month. I know that. It'll be after next month. I don't know an exact date, but it'll be next month probably.
Armon Franklin of Indianapolis Cathedral, IU, one of three schools he will consider in his final three. What do the Indiana coaches tell you that you could bring to Indiana, the reasons you should go to Indiana? How do they think that you could be a big part of the Hoosiers in the future?
They just think I'm a very versatile guard who can play the 1, 2, and 3. They like how I play defense, how I do everything. They tell me I can really improve on my shot. But again, they just think I'm a high character kid who plays the right way and who just loves the game.
Armon Franklin is our guest. Armon is narrowing down his recruiting to three. Indiana, obviously, in that three. Visits, you say, are set. Do you know exactly when you'll take an official visit to Indiana?
My official visit to Indiana is the weekend of August 17th, I believe.
Gotcha. So it is coming up pretty soon. Indianapolis Cathedral, a lot of talent. You guys, we had Coach Delaney on some this summer. He was obviously very active coaching the Indy Heat team and coaching some other players in the 2019 class that IU is very hot and heavy on in addition to you. You guys must be excited about the talent there, the potential for Cathedral basketball for the upcoming season.
Yeah, we're really excited. We're gonna have a good team coming this year. I think it'll be different from last year. I think I won't have the ball in my hand as much. I think we have a nice point guard, freshman Tayshaun Comer, and then we still have our returning guys like James Franklin, Justin Hensley, Ross Welch. And then Haven Montefalco, so I think we'll be a good group, an experienced group from last year.
Armand Franklin is our guest. Armand, before we let you go, just talk about recruiting in general, even before you narrowed your list to three. With everything that goes on, the July month was so busy with travels and coaches are texting and calling and coaches want to stop by your high school and visit you at your house, and they want to set up visits, both official and unofficial, for you to get on their campuses. I'm sure that as a young man that has school, that has basketball, that has other commitments as well, it can get pretty tiresome at times, can't it?
Oh, yeah, it can get tiresome. You just can't let it overwhelm you too much. My mom, she's helped out with it a lot. She, whenever I'm feeling stressed, she just turn your phone off and just, you can just relax and be a kid. So I think my mom has really helped me out with that, just keeping me level-headed and not getting too high or too low with it.
All right, great stuff. Armand Franklin, 2019 class, Indianapolis Cathedral, IU, Purdue, Xavier in his final three. Armand, will stay in touch and appreciate the opportunity to catch up with you today.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
And that'll wrap things up for this Friday edition of the program. Thanks so much for being with us today. Don't forget, if you ever miss a show or a segment, we are podcasting on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast. So make sure you check it out. For SoundCloud, you can point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. All the shows available there each afternoon, and a great way to check up on what you may have missed. 2 weeks from today, high school football officially begins on August 17th. It'll be our first Friday for Kentuckiana Football Fridays with Matt Dennison. Of course, we'll have scores and highlights and updates from across the area. 5+ hours of local coverage each Friday night forthcoming starting on August 17th. That'll wrap it up for today. Thanks for being with us. Hope you were with us all week. And don't forget, we're back Monday at 11 a.m. right here on the Hoosier Report.